Has anybody ever done that? No. That's not about the Christmas tree. Although a lot of you like the Christmas lights, it's not about the Christmas lights. And by the looks of some of you, and even me, we like the food, but it's not about the food. It's not about the tamales. It's not about the chicken. It's not about the desserts, though we love the desserts. My daughter made homemade pecan pies last night, two of them, and I was going to leave one of them, and Bishop was like, no, let's take it. And, you know, I just said, okay, let's take it. But it's not about the desserts. And I know anybody want gifts under your tree tomorrow. Anybody want a present? But it's not about the presents, even though you may like the presents. I love all that. But this time of the year is not about any of that. And because I believe that all of us would say, no, it's not about that. It's about a baby being born. It's about a king that came down from his throne to be born in a lowly manger. It's about a God that robed himself in flesh. It's about a God that loved us enough to come on this earth and to be born for us. It may not be the exact time of the year he was born or the exact day. And a lot of people say, well, I can't believe that you guys celebrate a pagan holiday. No, we're not going looking for pagans. We're not looking for devils, and we're not looking for evil spirits. We are just reminding ourselves that one day there was a God that came and was born for us. And we, like the angels, are like the same way, the shepherds, that when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly. We're just happy that we get to celebrate Jesus. Isn't that what it's all about? The kid said it. Happy birthday, Jesus. It's about his birthday. Isaiah penned it with these words. Isaiah 9:6, he said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called what? Wonderful. Because he's wonderful, and he's counselor, and he's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father, and he's the Prince of Peace, and his name is Jesus. And so today, Brother Del Toro, on a Sunday morning in Tulare, California, at Abundant Life Center, we celebrate him. We celebrate his day. It's his birthday. Happy birthday, Jesus. Now, I don't know what it was like in your house on your birthday. Anybody ever have birthdays? Is there anybody that doesn't have a birthday? You never have a birthday. I hope everybody does. Because that means you keep on living. But I know in my house, when I was raised, now, some of you don't celebrate birthdays, and that's okay. I'm not trying to roast on your non-birthday celebrating. But for us, when I was raised, when it was your birthday, it was your day. It was a special day, okay? You got to call the shots. As a kid, how many kids get to call the shots every day? No. When it was our birthday, it was special. Number one, we got to sleep in. We didn't have to get up early. Number two, a great part, we didn't have to go to school that day. And some of you moms and dads saying, kids, don't listen right now. But on a hard day, it was our day. We got to sleep in. We didn't have to go to school, and we didn't have no chores. I didn't have to clean my room. I didn't have to take the trash out. I didn't have to do the dishes. I didn't have to pull weeds. And some of you kids don't even know what chores is all about. I mean, years ago, we were in my backyard, and I was like, Tristan and Brooklyn, I'm gonna, and I paid them. I didn't get paid for chores when I was a kid. Anybody got paid for chores when you're? No, you just did chores. You didn't say, I don't feel like doing that, and that's too hard. No, you went out there. I remember on Saturdays, it was clean day. You get out your rags, and we'd wipe down our walls. And I mean clean, I mean really clean. Those were chores in those days. But it was on your birthday, you didn't have to have chores. And you got to pick the food that you wanted to eat. And every year on my birthday, kids, you know what I got? Chili dogs. I wanted chili dogs. That's what I wanted. Denison's chili beans, still to this day, are the greatest chili beans ever. I love my wife, and she makes great beans, and some of you make great beans, but when you stack them up against Denison's chili, it's not going to work. Okay, I know I may not get an all amens. That's all right. David said, oh, taste and see, that's good. So on your birthday, you do what you want. Have homemade whatever you want. I'm going to bust open a can of Denison's chili, and I'm going to put it on a hot dog, and I'm going to have me a chili dog. Okay? That's my birthday. But guess what else I got? I got to have a cake. And they made my cake. Anybody know what that cake was? German chocolate. You're right. And I remember my first year of marriage. Some of you know where I'm going with that. Kids, listen. My first year of marriage, it was my birthday, but it really wasn't my birthday because I had to go to work. I had to get up early. I didn't get chili dogs, and I didn't get a cake. And my mama called me late night, and she said, hey, just want to call and see how your birthday was. And I said, I didn't get a cake. Hey, we grow in this, all right? If she had the mic, she could say a lot more about me. It's just one thing. But on my birthday, that's what I got. I got a cake. And there's some of you, I mean, it doesn't matter to you, but on our birthdays, it was about us, right? And then when you think about birthdays, you think about buying things, and even Christmas time, right? Anybody finished all your Christmas shopping? You're done? Anybody still got some Christmas shopping to go? Okay? There are some people, when you try to buy a gift for them, it's easy. You know them. You know what they like. They're adaptable. It doesn't matter what you buy them. You could buy them a comb. You could buy them a pair of socks, and they'll love it. But there's others that are tough to buy for. You don't know what you can buy for them because they have everything. They don't need anything. You're like, what? And you, anybody know people like that? You try. You're like, what? What can I possibly get them? They have everything. Nothing's good enough. But my question to you today is this. What do you give the one who has everything? What do you give the one who has created everything? What do you give the one that everything we see and everything we encounter every day is made by him? John 1:3 said, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Meaning he's made everything. Somebody say he made everything. Psalms 104:24 says, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Psalms 50:10 says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. So what do you give the one that has everything? And then what do you give the one that has made everything? What do you give the one that has all power? Anybody have all power? You may have some power, only the power that your wife gives you. And you don't even have that. But Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus spake concerning them and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So, I mean, you've got a God that creates everything. You've got a God that has all power for everything. And not only does he have all power and he creates everything, but he has all knowledge. 1 John 3:20 says this, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. He knows your heart. Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches of the both of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways are past finding out. So the question this morning is this. Again, it won't be long, but what can you give him? He has everything. He's created everything. He has all power. He has all knowledge. What can we give a God who has everything? What does a God who has everything want? What does he need? What does he desire? What does he long for? What does the God who has everything want? Can I tell you? What'd you say? Your love? I'm going to go a step further than love, because it's more than love that he wants. It's going to blow your mind. You need to get your pencil out. You need to get your paper out. Here's what it is. I'm going to tell you what the God, the Creator, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, I'm going to tell you what he wants. Are you ready? It's going to be tough. It's going to blow your mind. You're going to say, wow, I've never heard this before. Here's what God wants. Y-O-U. He wants you. He desires you. He longs for you. He loves you. If he gets you, you can love him. Isn't that incredible to think about? A God that creates everything, a God that can do everything. All he wants for Christmas is you. I could hear him singing that song. All I want for Christmas is you. It's what he wants. He doesn't want you to go in debt in trying to buy him something to please him. I mean, really, you think about it. What could you give him that would blow his mind? What could you? The wise men tried it. Remember, I talked about it Wednesday night. They brought gifts to him. It kind of blew our mind because, I mean, like the gold, they said it was worth over $500,000. And we're like, wow, that's big. Not to God. Not to a God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Not to a God where heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. Can I tell you, from the manger to the cross, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, it's all about you. He loves you. God loves you. And he did it all for you. Hallelujah. That should make you smile. That should make you put those shoulders back and raise that head up if you can. And suck in the gut if you can. Because there is a God that loves you. He knows everything about you. He knew you before you were even created. You were not a mistake. You were not an accident. You didn't just happen. God destined you. God formed you. God molded you. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. And all he wants is you. I mean, you think about it, that we are the only creation. You are the only creation that God gave free will to. Everything he created, Brother Scott, everything created must do what he says. When he walked to the bow of the ship and all the wind and the storm was contrary and there was a big turbulence in the air and everybody was crying and fearful for their life, he walked and said, peace be still. Boom! It's gone. He walks to where there was a man that had a legion of devils and everybody was afraid of this guy. And the devils ran up and said, why did you come to torment me before my time? He's like, get out of here. Cast him into the pigs. Everything God does is just easy, just but for you, he gives you free will. And that free will is, I'm either going to live for God or not live for God. I'm either going to love him or not love him. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to sit here. I don't have to be involved in this. I don't have to do right. I don't have to act right. I can live the way I want to live. You are right. But if you want to know what he wants, if you want to know what his heart longs for, if you want to know what he desires you. He could have made you a robot and he could have programmed you to worship him at every single stage of the time of life. No, he wanted somebody to worship him, not because they're forced to, but because they wanted to. They wanted somebody to live for him, not because somebody made them do it, but because something on the inside said, God, I just want you to know I'm not forced to say this. Nobody's holding a gun to me, but God, I want you to know that I love you.
He gives us free will.
I love it when my kids come to me and say, Dad, I love you. Can I have some money? Any parent had ever heard those words before? Or any parent know their ulterior motive? You know what I'm saying? You get home and the whole house is clean. Dishes are done. Laundry is all folded and put away. Their bedroom that you were so horrified to look into in the morning now sparkles like Mr. Clean. And you know something's up with him. He needs something. He either got some very bad grades and something happened at school, or he needs some money. But we walk in and we're appreciative of all that stuff and we give to him. But notice, have you ever had it? Child, loved one, friend, or family member. For no other reason whatsoever. Have you ever happened where they came to you and you say, hey, I love you. And they said, I don't want a thing. Just want you to know that I love you. How did that make you feel? Incredible. It's like, oh, wow. Take the car. You ain't got no license, but take it. Everything you want. God said, you being evil, called you evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids. How much more does your heavenly Father want to give to you? And the secret lies in this. I'm not here because I have to. I'm here because I want to. I don't raise my hand because someone said, let's praise the Lord. No, I raise my hand because I love him. I adore him. I give to him, not because I'm doing it grudgingly, but I give to him cheerfully. Why? Because he breathed into me the breath of life, and I've got a daddy that loves me, and I want him to know that I love him. That's what he wants. On Christmas Eve, on Christmas Day, every single day of the week, he just wants you. And if he gets you, you know what that makes you? A gift of worship. He's created you, given you free will. He wants you. But when you say, God, I want you, you are giving him a gift. You are giving him a present. That's why he said, I inhabit where there is. I dwell where there is. I abide where there is. When you start praising him and you start worshiping him, he takes notice. Doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank. He's not interested in your money. Doesn't matter what kind of car you drove up in. He doesn't care about your car. He don't care about your clothes. He don't care about the home you live in. He just loves you. Doesn't matter the color of skin and what dialect you speak. There is a God that loves you. That ought to put a smile on your face. That ought to make you happy. There is a God that loves you. And there's a God that wants me. There's a God that knows my name. I mean, you do that today. You get around your family. You just put that old pearly gate. You just make it smile wide. They're like, what? What you drinking? The Holy Ghost. I got Jesus on the inside of me. And you know what? He loved me. You don't, but he does. That's all he wants is you. The creator, he said in his word, I'm done. He said in his word that if you'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh unto you. Brother Landry, didn't he say, behold, I stand at the door and knock, right? If any man hears my voice and opens the door, what's he going to come in and do? He's going to sup with you. He's going to come in and say, sup. Just thought of that. That's kind of funny. Things that go through my brain. I don't say everything that goes through my brain, because. But the Lord said, I'm going to come in and say, sup, right? And I'm going to partake of what you can give me. And then he said, you're going to come with me, and you're going to say, sup. You're going to sup with him. You're going to partake of what he has. You think you've seen a lot of splendor in this world? You think the white-capped mountains are awesome? You think the Niagara Falls is incredible? You think about the most glorious sight you've ever seen in this earth. It's in nothing in comparison to what heaven's going to look like. When I walk on streets of gold and I walk past gates of pearl, not pearls, gates of pearl, I walk hand in hand with him. So I know what you long for. I long for to walk.